Welcome to the Child Talk podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Hartley, and I'm a Science Communications Officer at the MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL. In this show, we explore the clinical trial landscape by talking to the clinicians and researchers behind the work we do. If you're interested in learning how our research can help improve healthcare in the UK and around the world, this is the podcast for you. Every year on the 1st of December, we mark World AIDS Day to show solidarity in the fight against HIV and AIDS and to remember those who've sadly lost their lives. In the first part of our World AIDS Day mini-series, we explored the disparities in treatment options available for adults compared with children and how our clinical trials are aiming to close this gap. This episode focuses on the involvement of young people living with HIV in research and how they can shape clinical trials to better serve the needs of their community. I'm speaking to Lungile Jafta, who works closely with young people through the Paediatric European Network for the Treatment of AIDS, or PENTA, and their youth engagement programs. PENTA was established in 1991 as a collaboration between European paediatric HIV centres, including the MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL. The other guest in this episode is a young woman from South Africa called Gugu. Gugu was previously a member of PENTA's South African Youth Trials Board and now sits on trial steering committees. She is also living with HIV.
It's like living like a normal person because there's nothing different. The only thing is it's that I take medicine and other people don't. I think that's why. For me, it's been good. Okay, I live like any normal human being.
While Gugu is open about her HIV status, she also recognises that some young people struggle with the attached stigma.
Some other young people live with people who stigmatise people living with HIV, so it might be hard for them to take the pills, they might neglect them. And some others just give in to peer pressure and all the negativity that the HIV status comes with.
And why is it important that young people do take their HIV treatment every day?
So that they can be able to live a long, healthy life without any problems.
Gugu first became involved in clinical research through the PENTA Youth Trials Boards at the age of 15.
They were going around asking parents and children if we would like to join. I just remember my grandmother saying, yeah, she can join because at that time she was the one who was the voice of for me. So she said, yes, it's okay. And that's how I joined and learned a lot about what I was joining in. I think a lot of things surprised me. We learned a lot about how the treatment comes to be what it is. And knowing that I'm not the only one living with HIV was much of a relief because I thought maybe I was joining a group where I will be the only one who drinks the treatment and be the only one who has to like disclose and tell people that I am HIV positive. So I think that was the best part, knowing that I'm not alone.
PENTA develops the Youth Trials Boards to support young people to be active partners in research. The MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL has worked alongside the Youth Trials Boards in a number of our HIV trials, including Odyssey, D3, Breather Plus, LATA, and more. Lungile Jafta explains how the Youth Trials Boards work.
The Youth Trial Boards consist of 9 members, which are in 4 different countries at the moment. At the moment, we've got UK, Uganda, Zimbabwe, and South Africa, and soon to be Kenya will join us. In each of these countries where these clinical trials run, we will ask the young people what they think about a certain result or a certain information that needs to go out. So the message could be about what the current clinical trial is and everything that is written up is scientific and correct for ethics, and it seems good on paper. But when it gets to the young people, it's unclear, it's complicated, and they don't understand it. So the Youth Trials Board will come in and simplify that information to make sure that the young people get the gist, the important information about what a clinical trial is. So it won't have all that other information that patients should know, but it will have important factors to inform the young person to say yes or no and go on the trial. What they also do is they simplify information during the trial and also after the trial. They're also part of assisting the team on how to communicate with young people. So in clinical trials, at the end, you send out a report and a letter to the participants telling them about what the results are. But we found that young people, what five-year-old reads a report or a letter saying, so drug A did better than drug B, so drug A is going to be the one that's going to be rolled out in your country. Five-year-olds want to understand that. So what the Youth Trial Board does is they come up with creative ways to get the message across to their peers. And when I say their peers, we're talking about any young person who's in the clinical trial. So it could be from a three-year-old all the way to an 18-year-old. The information has to be in such a way that if an 18-year-old reads it, they understand it. But if you read it to a 3 or 4-year-old, they will get the gist of the information. So that's why they end up doing posters or videos or any sort of graphic to translate the message and to ensure that everyone who is within the trial is reached or can understand the gist of the message.
They would give us papers where we would literally try and turn it to a cartoon where a young person would understand it and be able to get the information that the scientists are trying to send. And in the TSC, it's like we are overseeing how the treatment is made. We ask the questions why the trial is being done and how will it help the young people.
So why is it so important to involve young people living with HIV in clinical trials like these?
To hear their voices, opinions, and views on how you'll come about with studies and stuff, hearing what they say, what they would like to see and what not to see is why it is important. Because if you get one young person's point of view, you know that I might say this is right, and then another one is going to come and say, no, let's not do it like that, and let's do it like this. So we kind of bring some of the knowledge that other youth members. I think that is why it's important.
Youth Trials Board are advocates. So as much as the young people who are on the Youth Trials Board are living with HIV, the young people don't go out there and act activists. They advocate for all young people. So they don't say that I am Google, I'm HIV positive, and this is what I think you should do. They go out and they say, this is what young people living with HIV prefer. This is how we should approach young people living with HIV. So they advocate for better participation and acknowledgement, as well as the deserving rights of young people to be on clinical trials boards, because they are living with HIV. They have lived personal experience, which no scientist, you can not even collate the amount of information one young person can have, because their lived experience is so unique. And the way they tell their story, it makes science so much better. When scientists listen to these young people who are advocates, they are able to incorporate this lived experience and therefore speak to them in a better language, or rather reach them halfway so that we can have better results at the end.
This lived experience means that the Youth Trials Board members sometimes point out missing information. That's really important to the trial participants, but the researchers might sometimes overlook. Lungi shares a good example from the LATA trial, which tests the safety and effectiveness of long-acting injectable anti-HIV drugs for adolescents.
When the young people were doing the LATA video, they pointed out something which was not at the top of everyone else's most important points to know about where the injectable is going to be and how painful it is. Mm-hmm. On the video, they wanted us to show where the injection is going to go. They were all concerned about exactly where it's going to go. So, you know, you will say you will get one injection on the left bum, one on the right bum. And they were like, where on my bum? So their view and their voice is that important, because we would have overlooked that, but it's such an important factor for them.
Another clinical trial where Penta's Youth Trials Boards have been actively involved is D3. D3 is designed and run by the MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL and aims to simplify antiretroviral therapy for young people, testing whether they can take just 2 drugs daily instead of 3. We covered D3 and LARTA in more detail in the first World AIDS Day episode, so please do check that out too if you haven't already. The Youth Trials Boards played an important part in recruiting participants to enrol in D3 by making their very own child-friendly recruitment poster. Lungi explains how the team at Penta worked together with the Youth Trials Boards members to produce something that they can all be proud of.
So when we gave them the D3 information to say, this is what the D3 does, but now we want to recruit young people, what do you think is the best way to recruit them using this? Young people said, no, this is boring. Do something that's graphic, that's grabbing, that draws your attention, something that just, you know, makes you want to read what this is. So we're like, okay, what is that? And the young people said, okay, what about a poster? When we engage with them, we first ask them, what medium of communication or which way do you think will be the best to send out this information? And they give us those ideas. We have to go back to our drawing board to say, okay, the young people say they want to do a video or poster. How do we help them to do this? So we have to go back and see how we can help them design that material that they want to do it so that it is fitting in the information. So the next meeting, the young people were tasked with designing the D3 poster. And when they're tasked with designing this, what we have to do as coordinators is just make them understand what a good poster is. And we do that with them. So we ask them, what do you think makes a good poster? If you had to walk into a shop, what poster would drag you? Or if you walked into a clinic, what piece of information will pull you? And they will tell us, if the color is bright, if the font is this, if the size, if the design. And we have to take that all down and then give it back to them and say, so you guys said a good poster must have a good design, good fonts, coloring, must be creative. Can you guys take what you said and put it into practice now? Here's the D3 information. It's been simplified already. If they're simplifying any information, it goes back to the scientists and the scientists say, sorry, you missed out this thing. This doesn't translate well. Goes back to the young people. And the young people say, yeah, but still now it's more complicated. Simplify it further. They simplify it. So there's this back and forth, back and forth. So even creating this poster, they first had to simplify the information and they had to agree between the scientists and the young people. They had to agree that the science is carried through, the understanding is clear, and the message is not changed in any way. And when they designed the poster, they literally send us drawings and layouts of what they want to do. And we take that rough sketch and work with it with our designer to put their dreams into reality. Once the poster has been designed, we send it back to all the groups to say, this is what the Zimbabwe group came up with. We all simplified the words and the mean and the language together. And now we've put these two together. What do you guys think? And everyone comes back and says, I don't like this. I like this. We listen to everyone's points of views because we believe that everyone is representing a certain child out there. How we translate this in the poster may be different because we have to work around all those points of views. Because one might say yellow is too bright and the other one is saying, but yellow is good. So we have to meet everyone halfway so that we accommodate everyone. So there's this back and forth between all of that. And at the end, a beautiful D3 poster was produced. The layout was good. It was bright. It was colorful. And the clinics are using it now. So I think that's one of the one of my favorite examples of something that the young people did.
I think that's what I like. It's that it was simple for me to understand that maybe other people will be able to also understand it.
But in this back and forth, do the Youth Trials Board's members feel that the researchers take their feedback on board?
They do. I remember how a lot of them would come after presentations and come and ask us how we took the presentations. Are there anything that we'd like to be simplified? And if we had any trouble with the hard scientific stuff, we'd go to them and ask them to actually simplify it for us, and they would take time and do that, just so that we could be accommodated and we could be understand what is going on. And we can also share our opinions and points of views on how we want things to be done. If the thing is okay, we'll tell them it's okay, or we would ask them to actually do it in a certain way so that some of the youth members would also understand what is going on.
And thinking about all the exciting clinical trials that are running at the moment, what difference will this research make to young people living with HIV?
The difference is giving them hope. A lot of young people who are born with this, I know, are tired of taking the pills and living with this disease. So what I know is every young person is wishing for is for the is hope that the people who are coming up with these studies and trials and all, they might one day come up with a cure. I think that's the difference we are looking for. We're looking for hope. I think some of us have found it, some haven't. So, yeah.
And in the meantime, how important is it to make antiretroviral therapy more manageable for young people?
Very important to make young people feel free to actually take the medication without any stresses or stuff. Ask the young people that are the TSCs are very excited for the latter. So that's another step into making the young people feel better. Because once it is approved for the young people, if it gets approved, which we are fingers crossed for it, it will be easy for every young person to actually live with this disease, because we know we'll only be getting an injection and then at 2 months going to be living freely without any stresses that you have to go home, take your medicine or all that. So it would literally make our lives easier.
There's so many outcomes that we're looking for, but the main outcome is that research at the end will bring a cure, because that's what all the young people ask for. But research has already brought hope, has already brought a new dawn, has already brought a lot of opportunity to few young people who will now have a better perspective in life. Their experience and the way they just appreciate the exposure of the knowledge, being in the forefront and knowing what's currently happening, and being able to say, now when I conversate with other young people, I can bring the hope to them. It means that the hope that we're wishing for is trickling down, even though the cure is not here yet. But other young people now can know that hope is coming. It is so important for us to know that our young people are taken care of. We may not have all the solutions, but it's amazing how when they come together, they give each other solutions. So it is so much fun to watch them grow with each other, to watch them support each other, to watch them tell each other that, no, I was also once tired of my medication, but this is what I did to get over it. So, oh man, the amount of love that they give each other within this group is amazing. It is so amazing.
And on that note, thank you for listening to our World AIDS Day edition of Trial Talk. This was the second of our World AIDS Day episodes, but if you haven't already, please check out part one, which is all about how our clinical trials are helping to close the HIV treatment gap between children and young people and adults. You can find out more about our pediatric HIV trials on the MRCCTU website under our research, Studies by Research Area, and HIV. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at MRCCTU and on LinkedIn at MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL for all the latest updates.